everyone. Welcome to the 20th episode of Press X to Start.
Ding, 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 ding.
Press X is the weekly gaming podcast where we talk about pretty much everything in gaming, culture, news, whatever we really feel like it. Mm-hmm. So it's a conversational podcast.
Yep, yep.
Shooting shit.
Yeah, shooting shit. I'm Avery Williams. I'm here with DJ and hey. Marcus.
What's up?
Cameron, once again, is occupado.
You mean inoccupado.
You're right. Wait, what?
You said occupado.
Uh-oh. You got me. You got me. I don't do words good. You can pretty much find us on iTunes and Google Play. Just search for Press X to Start. You can also find us on pretty much all majority social media platforms, so Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. It's not Snapchat because we're old men. Well, yeah. We're older men than the Snapchat generation. designed for at Press.
I mean, I have the app.
We all have the apps, but like. I'm not sending anyone a picture of my dick.
I mean, if you were going to send one, though, Press Snapchat dick pic. Would be the one. Because it would be gone the next day.
Right. You could face fucking...
you could screenshot it, but you would get a notification that the person screenshotted it.
I don't know.
If you take a
Snapchat
picture,
be looking out.
What if you take a picture of it with another phone? Ultimate hack.
Got you.
You're right.
You scan the picture of a scanner.
I use my burner phone to take this.
This doesn't work. Anyway, you'll find us on all those platforms that Press X, the number 2, start.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to jump straight into this episode. And Marcus, what have you been playing?
Nothing.
How are you so bitch?
Well, that was quick.
No, I didn't really get a chance to play much of anything this week because... Just the last 2 weeks have been a lot.
Yeah.
So I really haven't. I'm just now getting a chance to like settle down and get back into the groove of things.
Right.
So yeah, I'll probably have something to say about what I played next week.
Totally understandable.
Totally understandable. Yeah. Okay. So I guess we'll jump into me. Last week we talked about the PlayStation Plus games, Until Dawn and Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
I put my money where my mouth is, which to say nothing because it's PlayStation Plus. I got the game for free. But I said, fuck it, I'll play Until Dawn. Marcus will be there to attest, but I said on record I wouldn't play that game until there was a confirmed playthrough where I could get all the characters to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's already been figured out months ago. It was just me not wanting to buy the game. PlayStation gave it to me for free. I'm probably going to go out of my way to spend money on the game later on, though, because I fucking really love this game.
Yeah,
we talk about Telltale games and Quantic Dream games. Is the only game that, to quote Colin Moriarty, made out Quantic Dream?
Right.
Yeah.
Right,
in terms of like what it's trying to do and how it's trying to do it, and. The tenseness, I'm not a horror guy. That's one reason it was turned me
off.
Which
is very surprising that you got the game, even though you don't.
Well, like, I got it for free, and I would play it for God. So, I don't like horror, so that's one reason it didn't appeal to me after the fact, at the beginning of the game, when it was released. But now I'm starting to play it, and I'm like, this is really good. The characters, here's beyond my blanket love, I have a couple of problems with it. Like, they cast three relatively big name actors, in some of the major roles, and they stand out. The other members of the cast, who are just, like, smaller actors who have just, like, I did, like, one day on SVU. Until I looked at the behind-the-scenes stuff, they all just look like generic character models to me.
Oh, wow.
Because I couldn't put a face to the actor.
Right.
Right.
And like, and then I looked at their faces.
So was it because that the character models weren't up to snuff?
No, the character models are fine. Like,
it's just he had
Rami Malek, Hayden Panettiere, and
Brett Dalton.
Brett Dalton all look like their actors.
Yeah.
It's just the actors who play the other characters who I don't know. They just look like generic models.
Gotcha.
I don't know who played what's her name, Emily.
Yeah.
I don't know who played Emily. I don't
Something
know who
blue.
Played Chris. But I do know who played...
Jessica. She was on like the... I Hate About You or something.
Yeah, I knew about Jessica. And I knew about the guy that dated Emily.
Oh, Matt?
Yeah, Matt. No, not the other.
Mike. And that's Brett Dalton's character.
Okay. So yeah, Matt. I knew about him as well because he was a Disney actor. And then he was in Grease Live. And he's like he's a singer as well. So I was like, oh, him. But yeah, easily the biggest stars were Brett, Rami, and
so like Kate. So that was like my first turn off. Like I don't really like this. But I started playing the game. I like The story is, as just a, like, piece of horror fiction, fucking fantastic. Because it starts off as one thing, yep, and then it turns into something completely out of left field.
It gives me kind of, like, Cabin in the Woods vibes, where it does intentionally subvert certain horror tropes.
There are some story problems, especially in the last act, when characters make a decision to do something that kind of doesn't make any sense. Character, obviously, this boy, like, this game has been out for 2 years.
Right.
I want to say Hayden Panettiere's character at one point at the end of a chapter says, we need to go get Mike. She just wrote a book, and it's apparently like, oh, something's really important in this book, I need to tell him.
Right.
When she meets him, they don't
say anything.
They don't say anything. It's
really?
Yeah, it's like, why did you need to go get him so much?
What?
Like, he came out of this encounter, he didn't, Mike, he didn't need her help to do anything.
Nah.
But like,
because Mike is an action hero.
Right. Like, well, another interesting thing in regards to the characters, and like, what also didn't help is, a lot of them are just genuinely unpleasant. Like, outside of Chris and Ashley, Hayden Panettiere's character and the Chris character, most of them are, and to a lesser extent Matt, most of them are just genuinely unlikable. Yeah. And like, Brett Dalton, when he becomes the action hero, like, it's still in my head, I'm still like remembering, like, yeah, man, you were really complicit in all this bullshit that started this game. I'm not having forgotten that.
Yeah, like, there's a lot of, I think there are,
I think it's designed in a way that you want to kill these characters off because they're unpleasant.
There's a certain, Emily is easily the most unlikable character in
the
game.
She's awesome.
I mean, or in the game. But I think that in certain elements, there's a sort of, like, all of these characters are teenagers. And there's a dickishness that you kind of expect.
Right.
Like Mike. Mike is classic alpha male, like, you know, I'm the popular guy. But, like,
does he play one basketball?
No, please. I think he plays football.
I don't pay attention to any of that.
I just read quarterback from him.
Okay.
But,
does he dance?
No.
Okay.
Well, but, he does a very fayish thing at the beginning of the game.
Exactly.
It's something.
But one thing that stood out to me about his character is, even though he was like sort of a dismissive dick, once shit hit the fan, he stepped up to the plate and actually was like, "Ayo, we gotta get everybody out of here."
Oh, really? Okay.
And so, like, in duress, his character shone through. Right. So I was like, okay, so you're maybe more than what I thought you were.
Right, okay.
It also has...
Emily was still mad self-serving, though.
She's awful. Oh. But the game also has one of my favorite last encounters in any of these adventure game situations.
Oh, yeah, man.
We talked about this off mic.
Tense AF.
One of the things the game sort of trains you to do is these don't move sequences, where they tell you just not move. The controller has the motion sensor, and you're supposed to hold it, the controller is vibrating, and something tense is happening.
Right.
And, like, it's really difficult. So most smart people have been like, put it on the ground. The controller will vibrate so hard that it will trick itself into thinking it was moving if you just put it on the ground.
Really?
Yeah. So you either have to actually physically learn to hold it still. Or turn the vibration off.
So explain the whole vibration part. So is it... When it says hold still, is it vibrating in your head?
Yes.
I almost...
It's vibrating like the character's heartbeat.
That's what I was going to say, yeah. Gotcha. It's like a heartbeat.
And, like, especially in the last act where, like, it tells you to don't move four different times, and, like, the character gets scarier and scarier and scarier.
So the heartbeat, like...
Yeah. You move, it's a wrap.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And also,
that sounds really cool, yeah.
And a failing and strength of this game, and this is just the way I play games, they need to work on the save system in this game.
Okay.
They're very adamant on that, like, all your characters' decisions matter, and you can't go back. If something happens to a character, it happens, you just move forward.
Right.
The game, unfortunately, only saves after every major event.
Yeah.
So even after, say, character X is killed because you made a bad decision, just close the game, jump back in, and it will start you back at the beginning of that encounter.
Mm-hmm.
Even when I made failing decision, because the only way I was going to play and beat this game is if I could get everyone to survive.
Right.
And like, some of the quick time events are actually really hard. And so, like,
oh, really?
And so I would fuck up, and this character would
be dead.
I didn't get any dead sequences because I always stopped the game before I got to a point where character X would be dead.
Okay.
I was just like, I'm not going to miss any of these QTEs. I'm just not going to miss them. And so we got to that point, and one more thing I'll say about this game that I have a slight disappointment about it is that the game has this sort of like character relationship system in it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I could have done more of it.
I agree with that, yeah.
So like every action, everything you deal with when you're in control affects how this character is like stats, like curious, brave, things like that.
And right, then how they're received by other people.
And then and the effects on the actual game itself, outside of, like, maybe a couple of major decisions, are quite minor.
Yeah.
But, like, I kind of wish that the way it worked was, when you're making these decisions, you're altering this character's stats, and then when you're not playing as that character and this character is in the world, their decisions will be based on what their current stats are and what their current relationships are. Mm. So you get the moments when, like, there's a moment later in the game where, like, you're holding a gun to another character's head, and, like, you're given a chance to stop this or not. But it would have been super interesting if, like, you had maxed out a character's relationship stat with this other character, and
so then
maxed
out
their brave stat, yeah, and the other character would have jumped in and said, no, 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 you can't do this. I will fight you.
Right.
Do this.
I get what you're saying. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
I wanted more.
So, like, if that stuff can actually matter.
Yeah, yeah, more, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, my first playthrough, I was untainted. The second time I played, I got everybody else out. But the first time, I think Matt died because that scenario was really kind of... I didn't know that there was something I had to do previously to keep him alive.
The game does this thing called totems, which are these little Native American things. Yeah. And, like, you pick them up and it'll show you a glimpse of a future event. And they're designed to be there to help you make decisions later on in life.
Right.
What he's talking about is Matt and Emily go to this fire tower out in the middle of Canadian wilderness. And while they're there, they find a flare gun.
Yeah.
Now, based on minor parameters between Matt and Emily, which is the only time this has really come up in the game, that's talking about those character relationships, Emily and Matt will either have a testy relationship or a trusty relationship.
Okay.
If they have a testy relationship and you're Emily, you're given a chance of giving the gun to Matt or keeping the gun. If you give the gun to Matt you have a tight relationship, he'll shoot the gun off immediately.
Yeah.
Or if you already have a test relationship, he'll keep the gun for later use. And then the thing with Mark is talking about, Matt gets dragged away by one of the monsters of the game.
Yeah.
And if he has a flare gun, he can escape.
Goddamn Wendigo.
Oh.
Wendigo.
Yeah.
And
Wendigo.
There's no dingo in it. And
Wendigo.
He'll escape. But if you don't, he'll get got.
It's a wrap.
And that's it.
I also lost Mike's hand. In the first place.
Oh, where did you lose it?
Okay, here's another thing. There's a... spoiler for Until Dawn. One of the totems shows you of this, about this trap, this hand trap. You go into this underground hospital, and you just see this hand in a box waving. I walked right past it. What Marcus did was go and touch the hand.
I'm gonna go touch the box.
The hand is a trap. It opens up into a bear trap that grabs you and holds you tight. And if you picked up the machete, which I'm pretty sure you have, you get a chance of breaking the machete by breaking the trap or cutting off your fingers.
Yeah.
So, wait. So, there's a hand that's waving?
Yeah.
Are you high-fiving it?
No, you just, like...
You're just trying to touch it?
Yeah. Or like, you think that there's something, like... I don't know. I just went over. I'm like, what's this thing?
So you pull that typical, let me go over here and touch this.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things, it does these conditional...
She's like a mic thing.
Yeah. It does these conditional things really well. I really appreciate them. Like, and one thing I love about it over Quantum Dream game is these conditional things, like, you're giving this machete at a certain point, and you can lose it at any point in the game.
Yeah.
But if you have it at certain points, it can save your life.
Right.
Or it can mean you're dead. Or, like, it's things like that, and I'm like, I really appreciate it. I want people to make games more like this and less than Telltale games.
Okay. Right, right.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
What were you playing, DJ? All
right, so I did not play that game. No.
You don't say.
Right. I wish you were interested to see you and Shireen play that game.
Yeah.
Word.
That'd be interesting to do. So I saw, jeez. I played three games.
Mm-hmm.
There was a sale going on the PlayStation Store.
Mm.
I think it's over July 11th, so by the time you hear this, it's over. Sorry, you missed
out.
Ratchet & Clank was $8.
Uh-huh.
Eight whole dollars. That game is great.
I want to point out that game came out at $40.
Yep. I downloaded Disc Jam, which was not a part of this deal. It's something that I downloaded before.
Uh-huh.
And I also played Dead or Alive 5 Core Fighter. I'm not going to talk about Dead or Alive Core Fighter because it was not good. It was a free-to-play fighting game.
And all you need to know about
exactly.
It.
Exactly. Gave you five characters, looked like a PlayStation 3 game, and you had to buy the story mode to play it. So no,
it's a nah.
Yeah, Disc Jam was sort of like it's a sport based game, one of those like ultimate sport games. It's like set up like a volleyball state, like kind of it's set up like volleyball basically, where you have one player on one side, a net, a player on another side. You basically throw a frisbee around, And if it lands on the ground, you score a point.
Right.
With the Frisbee, you can throw it straight, you can hook shot it, you can curve it, you can do kind of cool stuff with it. So I gave it a chance. I played the basic tutorial.
Uh-huh.
I played the advanced tutorial.
Uh-huh.
Then I went online, and I was like, all right, let me play myself a match. Let me see how good I am. Mind you, this is a span of like 20 minutes or so.
Right.
I got online, played the first person. I beat him. Mm-hmm. Stellarly. Thank you very much. I'll take that. And I was waiting for a trophy to pop. Because I check the trophy before playing.
Right.
Always check the trophy.
Exactly,
never not
right?
check the trophy.
Exactly. So, right as I, like, after I beat him, I was like, all right, wait for the trophy to pop. I got a little disconnect screen from the game. I'm like, what is this? I was like, whatever, I'll still get the trophy anyways.
Nope.
Nothing happened.
You thought.
Exactly. I was like, oh, Ratchet and Clank it is.
What it is.
So, I just jumped out of that game, started Ratchet and Clank. I forgot how much I love Ratchet and Clank. Like, this game, like...
Well, Insomniac fucked over that franchise in that they just kept making these weird budget games.
Like,
that
All For One was just...
All For One wasn't that bad. It's,
was
like,
it?
It's everything that came after All For One. Because All For One still had its cool...
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, the Tower Defense one they made.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That really small budget one, like, Into the Nexus.
Quest for Booty
was, like, a downloadable, bite-sized game. And that was fine.
Booty.
It was...
Okay.
Into the Nexus and things like that. I'm just, I got
Is
to,
that bad?
It wasn't bad. It's just like it didn't feel like a AAA game.
Right. Okay. So yeah, like I'm probably like three planets in right now, and I'm absolutely just loving that game. Like, it's just they've always had character.
Yeah.
But it's just like because this game is also so beautiful.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh my gosh, like
it's
man.
It's funny when you realize this is just a remake of the first game.
Exactly. And but they changed some things up, though.
They changed up a lot. They put in all the interesting things they started doing with, like, weapon progression and things like that for later games. I had the Ratchet Collection for PS3, and I, in the last 2 years, have replayed the first game, and then I replayed this game last year, and I'm like, there's a huge difference.
Yeah.
The Ratchet Collection seems like it would come with like a 40 ounce and like a pack of black and mouths.
A white beater.
Yeah, a durag.
But yeah, like I am thoroughly enjoying that game right now. Like my plan was to go back to Final Fantasy 15 after I beat Horizon.
Right.
But that might get put off until, like, after Fortnite, really. Because I'm pretty sure I'm going to be playing this up until Fortnite.
Man, everybody but Avery is shit at beating games.
Right?
Man.
My wife made a joke about, like, because after I beat Horizon, she's like, oh, you actually beat it? I was like, wait. Am I that bad?
Where is the shade coming from?
Right?
Pretty sure it's not in our past.
You said to be kind.
it's speaking of beating games, there might because we're in a dry period,
yeah.
And the current games I'm playing now don't speak to me like the games I've just marathoned, like Horizon, Persona.
Right.
I'm getting to a very slow.
Oh god, I forgot about Persona.
Yeah. I'm getting to a very slow, or I have to motivate
Point
myself
right.
to play games.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
Especially when I'm trying to do this, we're doing this, and it's making me take a concerted effort to play more different
exactly.
games, so I can have something to talk about new
same
every time.
Here.
But then it gets to the point where like I don't want to have 15 different games open.
Right.
Oh
yeah,
my goddamn thing!
Time, yeah.
Let me know when you get that platinum, bud.
Oh, I'm getting that platinum the week of July 25th.
Cool.
Because I have a full week of no work to do
nice.
Anything but get that platinum.
Yeah.
Then I'm a bum that Persona 5 off.
Yeah, like definitely because of this podcast, I would have never downloaded. I regret downloading Dead or Alive, but I have never downloaded Disc Jam.
Disc Jam sounds like a white ass game. I'm not gonna lie.
Well, based on the gaming industry, it was probably made by a bunch of white ass dudes.
Yeah,
you're not wrong on that.
With the pre pants.
All right.
So let's transition from what we're playing into gaming news.
Yep.
This was relatively a very slow news week
yep.
in terms of me gathering news.
Mm.
But there are a couple of stories that we're able to cobble something more substantial to talk about. Like, there were some more Destiny 2 reveals. DJ, you probably know more about this than I do.
Yep. All right, so...
You definitely know more about that than I do.
So I'd like to jump back to a couple podcasts where I was a little salty that they weren't going to mention the darkness anymore.
Kind of butthurt.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Just a
little bit. So... I So there was more information released about Destiny 2, and I've had some time to think about my comments and stuff, and I'm not as mad anymore at the fact that they're not dealing with the darkness, because that was something that was wholly tied in with, like, Oryx and whatever, but the idea that darkness, because darkness was really a part of their, like, culture, essentially, and that's all gone. So, the fact that they're not talking about the darkness anymore, it doesn't mean that it's not there. It's just not
a non-factor.
Right, exactly. So, Destiny 2, they're dealing with, the robot guys. Jeez, really?
The Cabal?
Cabal, there you go.
Mortal Kombat. They always seemed like roly-polies.
Right, yeah.
Like the Manda Chiwan from the Fifth Element. That's a reference to DJ Wong Gibbs.
Not at all. I love Fifth Element, by the way.
That's a
bold lie. If you really love Fifth Element, you'd see Valerian with us.
I don't even want to talk about that. But anyways, yeah, so like that was that's like I am okay now with their story with Destiny 2 going forward. I'm okay with it. IGN's first is focusing on Destiny 2, and they had released a little vision trailer. And they had some of the developers talk about it.
Right.
And one of them mentioned something that was very, very interesting. So he said that with Destiny 2, they had two choices. Mm-hmm. They could have basically do more of the same, where it was just like an update like Destiny 1.5.
Okay.
Or they could have put a number on it and tried to bring more players in. Mm-hmm. So they chose the latter route.
Okay.
So I feel like going forward, it's going to be the formula of they put a number on it, they kind of refresh everything,
right.
Release expansions, they go for another, refresh everything, release expansions until they can't drain that well anymore. So, yeah, so it's interesting to think that, we might run into a situation where we're going to lose our quote-unquote character again, or something else might happen where you don't have your weapons that you
and that then it's going to feel slightly predatory.
Exactly. So, I mean, I might be reading too far into that. Maybe not. Maybe. I don't know. But I just thought
it seems like a viable worry.
Yeah, right.
This game has fundamentally set itself in a MMO kind of a thing.
Exactly.
And, like, imagine if you're playing, let's say, World of Warcraft.
Exactly.
It's also produced by Activision Blizzard, but in the same family. That every 4 years, they decide, all right, let's make another World of Warcraft. So those hundreds of hours you spent with this character
gone.
Don't mean anything.
Yeah.
And, like, people were able to forgive it the first time, because it's like, the first Destiny was a weird between-generations game anyway. This we're not getting a new coat of paint, but they seem to be, this is the game that we were promised when they first revealed Destiny.
Right.
So a lot of people forgiving for that.
Right.
But after that, they need to, it just needs to be a living, breathing thing.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
There can't be Destiny 3.
Yeah, so that's another weird thing. It's like, how are they not going to make a Destiny 3 after? But I mean, I think they're in a better position now than what they were before, obviously. But like, I just feel like because this is going to be so tied to the Cabal, I feel like they kind of have to do a Destiny 3 that's going to be tied to the Vex.
That's the tough thing I think with a game like this is like it wants to be a story-driven game and an MMO at the same time,
right.
And I'm just like,
it's hard to do.
I don't know how you gonna do that, fam. Because you got a legitimate online community.
Well, like in my head, like how you do that is okay. You build this
expansion,
build this sprawling MMO world, and then you just release $10 DLC story packs.
Right. That'd be like World of Warcraft or like League of Legends or whatever. Wasn't World of Warcraft that had like the Kung Fu Panda expansion?
Yeah,
that'd be like building an entirely new
Kung
game.
Fu Panda.
No, well, kind of.
So I mean,
yeah. So the third thing that was interesting.
A quick question about, I just mentioned the Blizzard Activision thing.
Yeah.
Do you think you're going to see Destiny Heroes in Heroes of the Storm?
That actually would be kind of cool. So another thing that I actually heard this from a different podcast. My name is Bife. He's a big Destiny guy. He does a lot of the lore stuff. He's actually one of the guys that I listen to understand and actually get the lore of Destiny.
The guy who actually spent time to read those grimoire cards.
There you go.
Then you had to get an app to actually read. They weren't in game. Yeah. Destiny 1 was...
That's something that they're going to... for the exotic weapons now, they're going to do quests to get those exotic weapons. So that quest is also going to introduce more story elements.
So, which is good. So what you're saying is I want the Gallahorn. It's not this random drop from this
quest. Right. There's a quest.
You have to, Now you got me excited.
Right. So, the beta is going to
As long as they're not raids.
So the beta is coming out sometime soon. I don't have the information on me. But with the beta, there's been details released on it, and it seems that there are two classes for each race, or each
guardian.
Yeah. So it seems like it's possible that the full game might release with only two classes, even though we are at three classes with Destiny 1. So it's like they're kind of backtracking on that, and I'm kind of like, what are you doing?
Okay, so the quick update. The beta time for Destiny 2 are for PS4. They're going to start July 18th with a pre-order. 19th on Xbox One. And PC is sometime in August.
Sometime in August?
Yes.
Oh, boy. You don't even get a date.
It'll come out when it comes out.
And I'm just super happy we're in an age where PC are the second classes.
Right? So yeah, like I mean, I'm with this information, with my time to like kind of, you know, get all that information in and just kind of digest it. I'm actually excited for Destiny 2.
You feel better now, buddy?
I feel better now. Thank you. Yeah.
Speaking of something that we can all put more input on.
There you go.
We were wrestled with whether to talk about this episode, but it's too big. And we've essentially become an Overwatch podcast at this point. So we're Blizzard. Just up and just reveal Doomfist.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just like, they gave out one tease, and then 2 days later, Doomfist.
Here's the whole trip. And let me just say, that tease was lit. Doomfist showed up and just wrecked three prime members of Overwatch.
She wrecked them because they didn't come in a healer. There was no tank. The composition was entirely fucked up.
There was only three of them. Like, what?
But they wrecked Genji, Tracer, and Winston.
My thing is, he has no armor but his right arm, yet Tracer's bullets is bouncing off
his skin. Not the biggest problem with that fucking trailer.
Well, I mean, for me, I was just like, "There's how many health do you have right now? What's going on?"
Remember that barrier he builds up.
Oh, that's true.
And he was punching them in the face.
Sure was.
400.
He murked Genji.
Yo.
Yeah. Doomfist is a new member of the Overwatch cast. He's a leadership in Talon, so we don't know necessarily what their structure is.
Yes.
But it's not just Reaper in charge it's Reaper and then this guy and so Widowmaker. She's an agent. Really interesting about him from just a pure meta storytelling thing is he's a character for that first time really opens up the actual what is the narrative of Overwatch. His character is the first time we've actually learned more about Talon as an organization beyond the Weird Cobra.
Yeah. Basically.
Weird Cobra.
But yeah, he's an offense type with a focus on melee combat. And I first clocked him immediately, just in that trailer, as just being Genji, except if...
a Genji with a fist instead of a sword.
Yeah, a Genji if he had a little bit more health and wasn't as squishy.
Yeah, yeah.
And from what I've been told, and just seeing him open on the PTR and just hearing some more experienced Destiny players talk about what you can probably do with him, is that he's a Reinhardt killer at his core in terms of what he's going to mean to the meta for the long
term. So he's important.
Yeah.
Sort of. Like, you know.
Side note, did you know that Orisa was actually made to counter?
Yeah. And I
was like,
in retrospect, now Orisa's moveset makes a lot more sense with how he is the counter. Because his big takeaway is a counter comment is he can go through shields.
Right.
So
his rocket punch can go through shields.
His rocket punch can go through shields.
Right.
So like if you had that team comp where Reinhardt would just fucking stand there and everyone would like just fucking stand behind him shooting.
Torbjorn and Bastion.
That means nothing to Doomfist. Doomfist one shot Reinhardt, and then your entire team is just
open. He goes through Reinhardt's shield to get into their little area. Yeah.
Right.
A little
code. But then, like, the difference, but then Orisa, Orisa thing is, she just puts the shield down, she's not behind it, and she has a gun. So her entire comp now makes sense to be, oh, it's like to counter this
and
gun.
Then also, the other ability to the rocket punch is that if you get hit and you bounce off a wall, you do more damage. But with Orisa, actually, there's a couple of...
Her fortify thing, right?
Yeah, her fortify thing, it nullifies the...
knockback.
The knockback, right. So, like, she gets hit. Does she even take any damage?
I don't think she takes any.
Yeah, she doesn't take any damage, but he gets the... he, as in Doomfist, gets the energy shield boost.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like, Bastion's, like, sentry mode, the knockback doesn't work for that.
Mm.
Or is it the upper? It might be the uppercut that doesn't work for that. So there's a couple characters, like, for example, Tracer, the uppercut, if you blink dash right as you get uppercut, you don't go flying in the air. So you actually just go forward.
Oh.
Yeah, Doomfist goes up in the air.
Wait, well, Doomfist, he has a very interesting comp, and I'm going to be he's a 3-star character. I immediately clocked him as being someone who's going to be a skill-based character, because the entire moveset is close range combat.
Right.
And
he's got those
knuckle dusters on his freaking.
Yeah, close range combat. They said that he has a shotgun on his knuckle. Them things are like sniper bullets that just fire together.
Yeah.
Like,
but
the
essence of his comp is essence of his kit is up close combos.
Right. But
that means that like long range characters,
if they get in mid
we'll be able to
work him
instantly. And so he's going to be super interesting to see.
Well,
I made it
competitively.
I will say that the idea was that long range characters, he would have the rocket punch to shorten that distance and then work them.
Yeah.
But on the PTR, they actually nerfed his rocket punch distance. So it used to be they removed 10 meters from it. So now it is 20 meters or 30 meters. So he can't close in that distance as quickly, and I think the cooldown's like 4 seconds or something.
Okay.
So they're working on him still.
Yeah, well, that's the key reason he's on the PTR, not just out to
exactly.
us. We're like, well, no, Doomfist is overpowered. Nerf him. Nerf him.
Like, I've made a decision that, like, because I've been, so far, my...
He wants to doom our team. That's what he wants to tell me.
I don't want to doom your team. Okay. basically, my players so far have been May. I just got pretty good with Lucio, and I was messing around with certain other characters.
Right, so I guess this can be like going around, like, are you going to use him?
Yeah, because I want to try and work around with Doomfist and see if I can get really good with him so he can be my main attack character. Because the only other attack character that I've gotten good with is Soldier 76,
mm-hmm.
and that's Avery's man.
Avery,
so I can't take that off of his hands.
There's video evidence of me putting in work.
Yeah,
that's
so
true, that's true.
Never gonna happen. No, it's taking.
It's like right now, I'm good with May and Lucio, but I need an attack character,
which is also my two mains. But I'm not gonna sweat it. It's fine.
Hey,
it's okay.
Hey, I helped us out with Lucio.
No, you did.
Like at the rate Overwatch is going, we're gonna be like, we're probably gonna get another new character, hopefully in the winter.
Hopefully.
I mean, I'm hoping.
It's difficult,
like,
though, because it's like I might be like not following properly, but like, where is there any other like loose ends that they could pull from other than just like pulling someone out of thin air or something?
Well, remember the first, a lot of the Overwatch initial art had a bunch of random characters on it. We all were like, who's this character?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Who that guy? He's clearly had a flamethrower. And then you can't go 5 feet on the internet without posting Overwatch fan characters and just thousands of interesting ideas that people have thought up. Like, the one I'm super interested about, and I thought would be really cool, but in Netflix is really dumb. If someone made a dog character, and the entire point of the character is to just pick shit up and hand it to other characters. He's
a support
who goes and picks up medkits and then brings them back to other characters.
So he's dog meat.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, that would be fucking awesome.
And then Doomfist just comes up.
All right, so Avery, would you use Doomfist?
Hell no. No.
All right, easy enough. And
I don't have the reflexes to use a combo-based character.
See, yeah, so that's that. Like, I want to play with him a little bit, but in no, like, world do I see myself mating with him.
So what you're saying is he's going to, I won't have much competition.
Yeah, and I don't think Cam's going to even bother with him either.
Cam only plays as Orisa.
Yeah, so like, when I initially saw Doomfist, as you guys knew, I was not very happy.
No, you were not. I was super interested in the possibilities. He was like, huh, this is not, he seemed, all these problems with these characters.
Yeah, right.
I'm gonna complain about this. These guys have probably spent months working on it.
Right? I'm like, no, not good. Try again.
Yeah, he was going off on.
Yeah, so like, my thing was that I actually did, initially I did not really like his moveset. I felt like the rocket punch was cool. The uppercut I had the most issue with because I felt like, you're right. So like,
no one could see that Marcus just did an uppercut.
Yeah, he just did a cool ass uppercut.
Cool in the air, like spun around everything.
I lit him on fire for a second too. It was really cool. Anyway, so yeah, like I feel like the uppercut was kind of a waste. Uh-huh. Like it works well in terms of mobility for Doomfist, but in terms of it being effective towards other players, it's not very effective. Like, it doesn't stun them once they go in the air. They're also, they just get hit in the air and
it seems sort of like the Lucio pulse cannon where he just like pushes people off the stage.
Right. But at least with that, like once you get hit, there's no real counter.
Yeah.
Other than like, if you're like Genji, you use your little dash thing.
Or if you're Lucio, you can wall right your way or something.
Or Tracer,
and
right.
You blink back.
Right. So like, with the uppercut, it may work if you're like pro level,
right?
But it could get you in trouble if you're not. And like, for example, as I was mentioning earlier, like,
can you combo it into the
ground pound?
The ground pound?
No.
Oh,
so
wow.
Yes, if you're pro level and you can wait for them to come down and do it. But it's not, like, an immediate thing.
Okay.
Like, there is a delay.
You can't chain. Okay.
Right. So, like, they were saying that, yeah, he's going to be a combo player, but not really. Because, like, it's not like you do rocket punch, uppercut to ground pound. Like, you do rocket punch, you catch him with the uppercut, and then you have to wait and then do ground pound. And then that might not kill, too. So, like, I feel like, so what I did was I sat down, I thought about his moveset, and I kind of made my own
Yeah, you totally did.
In the thread.
Yeah. We're going to do something like that when we talk about Overwatch and Death. Because
I really want to talk
about what we would do if we could make our own character in the game.
I think that'd be cool. So, yeah. So, like,
takes me back to high school when we used to do all that shit.
So, like, I was really passionate about it. But, like, over time, watching other people play and, like, understanding how he works, like, in actual combat, I'm cool with him. But, like, yeah, I don't feel like I'm going to be like
the major thing I took away from Doomfist is he's going to now fuck up comps for like capture maps,
right?
Because
if he has
his ult, and like I've never seen an ult,
and his ult
designed to take out an entire team,
is so powerful.
That's like that officially trumps what's his name, Junkrat's
wheel bomb.
Yeah.
Well, the wheel bomb you can take out.
Well,
no, I know, but I'm saying like
no,
that's
it trumps D.Va's. Like
that,
sure does.
The D.Va bomb, yeah.
Because D.Va's bomb, they've gone back and forth on how that's supposed to work.
Right.
To now it's got to a point where, which I'm super happy about, because it used to piss me off that like I had to run away from my own goddamn bomb.
Yeah. Right.
No, all you have to do
Doomfist,
all you have to be standing is running into the payload and you're all dead.
Superhero move.
So
superhero landing.
I was watching a couple things on Doomfist,
uh-huh,
and a couple notes that I will say. His ultimate. You can do it indoors.
Oh.
How does that work?
Okay.
How does that work?
That was my big question about the ultimate.
Yeah, you can do it indoors.
Obviously, he crashes through the roof.
But you're in space.
You're on the moon.
There's still roofs in space.
So, yeah. When he melees with his left hand. He melees with his weak hand.
First off, ain't no weak hand. That nigga
fall his hand. Most of him is robot.
True.
Cast his fate.
But like, it's just like, you got this giant gauntlet on your right hand, but why you punch me with your left hand, though? Like, what's going on there? Yeah. And then, there's something else, but it's non-factor.
What I do really like about him, outside of, you know, the fact that he's shiny new toy, is the fact that he's just another dope... He's another dope example of representation for Overwatch with this really diverse cast.
Yep.
And like Avery was talking about how like for a long time he liked Orisa as a character, but he felt like her being the African character was a cop-out because
sure was.
They just put this little African girl into a robot and he's like, well, now we still have no...
Well, she's not even in the robot. She's like...
Well, yeah, she is the robot.
She made the robot.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Right.
But instead,
they're two different characters.
But instead of actually having like a... Okay, we have alt black characters like Afro-Latino with Reaper and then Brazilian with Lucio, but we haven't had like a black character, and Arisa was supposed to be that, but no, she's a robot.
Yeah.
She's an African robot. She's a robot.
Some could argue that this is where we're going to get to sort of black semantics when you talk about Farrah and Anna. And then being Egyptian.
True.
But, like, straight up, those two characters look Middle Eastern, which is what I assume.
Exactly. Here comes Doom Fist, Nigerian as fuck.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
And...
Oh, well, I was halfway about the text Wale. Like, oh, he doesn't play Overwatch. Yeah. I'm not going to marry him.
But it's, like, it's cool that this is just another, like, Blizzard being completely uninterested in just giving us a bunch of white characters. Like,
that's true.
Really about this whole, we're going to do interesting...
Well, they're operating under the mantra, which I started operating more on now when I create stories, is why does this character have to be white?
Yeah.
Do they have to be white? Just making them white add anything interesting to the character.
Right.
If not, then go another route. You might discover something. Like, straight up, I made a story where like, all the characters were white, and I'm like, it's dumb, and I just thought... What if I made him? Oh, yeah, this works with the narrative better. So now he's Indian. Because I'm like, okay, this makes more sense. And I'm like, with Overwatch, every decision that they've made going forward has, like, I'm in my head, there are a handful of white characters in Overwatch. So
but like, even them, for the most part, have interesting things.
They're all physically diverse enough.
Exactly.
Right,
Junkrat is physically inhibited. Like,
it's the fact that like they're white, but they're not American white. They're like, like Junkrat and Roadhog are Australian.
Yeah,
but also like,
Tracer is British. You know,
Junkrat is of the handicapable community. Mm. And then you know,
handicapable. It's like the climate community.
Then you got
that's an IT crowd.
Okay.
Then you got Tracer, who is LGBT.
Yeah.
And the face of the game.
Exactly. Yep. So it's like
that's the verse.
Even like the whitest of white characters in the game is Soldier, and that's intentional. And
apparently, he's an alcoholic too. So.
So he's with the AA community. But it's like, it's cool that, and then also outside of that is one of my favorite things about representation is when they do one even better and they don't just make the character, you know, a certain race for the sake of it.
And they don't feel protective over it.
Exactly.
Because something that's going to come out about Doomfist is going to piss, it's going to be on the FJW side of things if he's a villain.
But there's
going to be an argument like, black guy in the game, why they got to be the villain? But I'm like, fucking Doomfist is fucking baller as fuck. He's a high level. Like, here's the thing. Talon is the most diverse organization of villains I have ever seen. Only one member is white and he's purple.
Yep. And on top of that, they did their research because they legitimately have Doomfist
Widowmaker, by the way, is purple.
Yeah. But, like, Doomfist legitimately is a master of a Nigerian martial art.
Yeah.
And they didn't have to put that in there.
Right.
That just shows
they
that
research.
They did research on that stuff. And that's something that always makes me
happy. Helps him stop being Captain Ethnic.
Exactly.
Right.
And that's what's really cool when they do representation in certain things is when they go the extra mile.
It's not
diversity for diversity's sake.
No.
They're actually...
It's diversity for the sake of story. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Someone pointed out that Junkrat and Roadhog are cast as Eknit for Australia because we the Americans just assume Australia is Mad Max. And so they made those two characters, they just made Mad Max characters.
Australia is Mad Max. That was a prison colony that got turned into...
All I'm saying is they gave us the Hemsworth.
Exactly. Well, they gave us the Hemsworth.
Well, no, the other one. The one on Westworld.
He's in Westworld. That's it. They gave us Thor.
So, any other stuff we want to talk about Doomfist before we move on?
Yeah,
okay. So, DJ, you want to talk about the Battleground zombie mode?
That stupid thing.
Story that DJ brought up, and then he showed us a video of it, and I was immediately turned off by what that was supposed to be.
Right, so,
Player
PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds released this new zombie mode that
PUBG
definitely tickled my fancy. I was like, oh, I love zombies.
Zombies.
I can't wait to see how that goes. Rooster Teeth, their Let's Play, Achievement Hunters, I guess I should say.
Achievement Hunters plus Gus.
Yeah, there we go. They did a Let's Play of the new feature, and immediately I was turned off. Like, immediately. So the way that I assume that this would work, this would be player versus player versus zombie. So you got players running around, and you got these...
Or it'd be like asymmetric multiplayer kind of thing. Where
right, or that too. Like, it's like a horde mode sort of.
Like Left 4 Dead used to do it, where like here's one group of survivors, and here's one group of super zombies.
Right, right, right. So what they actually did was they just grabbed the normal player base for each game, and they just made a majority of the players naked.
Yep.
Can't open doors, can't pick up weapons, and can't pick up gear. And they were called zombies.
So what you're telling me is there's no advantage to being a zombie.
There is no advantage to being a zombie. As far as I could tell, I mean, and it seems like they're still working on it, because they also mentioned something about playing with the idea of you could be infected,
mm-hmm.
and you might turn into a zombie.
So you, oh, well, okay.
Right. So,
you'd basically just be able to troll other characters.
Like, sort of.
By armchair game designing, like, immediately when you start talking about how there's, like, no, give the zombies regenerating health. If you're playing as a zombie character, you can respawn. Because
right,
other zombies, there are dozens of things you could have done to
right.
make this balance. And then, like, if a group of just five dudes playing this game could easily just hole up in a building, the zombies can't get in, and just aim out the windows with guns.
Right. Right. So in order to balance that, zombies have the ability to break down doors.
Okay.
Oh.
Right. So the problem is that it takes, like, 10 zombies to swarm. Like, if 10 zombies are swarming your team, you're done.
Right.
Because, unfortunately, they don't really act like zombies in terms of how they take damage. So if you're scoring headshots, it's just doing a little bit extra damage.
They also don't act like zombies, period, because they're throwing punches.
Wait, you mean zombies don't throw punches?
Not that I don't.
It feels very much like this is a mod to this game.
Right. It seems like they had a week to put this together, and they're like, well, this is what we got so far. Sorry.
Yeah.
But, like, I feel like they definitely – because they're on top right now.
Yeah.
They definitely had ample amount of time to, like, put this in the burner and
yeah.
really make something that's worth putting out there. But it seemed like they just kind of rushed it.
We were talking about this off mic. It feels like a response to the way games like this really work in that, like
right.
– this game is not going to be on top forever. Someone's going to mod this game once, get a job somewhere, and make another version of this game
yeah.
that's even better, which is how this game was born.
Exactly.
So, like, it feels like that was their way to stave that off, but, like, they didn't put the time in. I don't want to armchair quarterback this because, like,
We don't know the final product.
I don't actually play PUBG. Because it's a PC game.
Right,
I'm not going to play on Xbox One X.
But understandably,
but
those will kind of happen.
Yeah, but from a
right.
outside coming in video game thing, when like you announced that they're having a zombie mode, in my head, I'm like, Left 4 Dead.
Right.
It's going to be like Left 4 Dead.
Because we have examples
yeah.
of what a zombie mode is.
Yeah.
So it's just like
Call of Duty. Like,
yeah.
And then it was like, oh, it's just like,
this.
You're a weak-ass zombie.
Yeah, you're right.
You're booty butt naked, you're throwing punches, you
booty
can't pick up weapons.
Okay.
And one last story before we wrap this up
yep.
is that, okay, so I brought this story up simply because there was always that argument about the Xbox is whole, Windows PC connectivity where every Xbox game is now on Windows.
Right.
So recently, I think this news story came in the last couple of days, there are now PlayStation 4 games on PlayStation Now, which is their big streaming service.
Side note.
Yes.
I thought this was funny. Mm. I was thinking about getting PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds for Xbox,
uh-huh.
but playing it on Windows.
Now also available. All
right.
But like, so a big thing that happened, I want to say a couple, maybe last year in the PlayStation Now ecosystem was that they got rid of all the remote play stuff for like Vita
yeah.
and stuff, all the minor
yeah.
minor sort of things like PS3. Now it only really works for PlayStation 4 and PC. And so what this tells me now, and I recently released PS4 games, it's now we've gotten to a point where now Sony games are also on PC.
So, wait. So
okay,
So PlayStation Now works for PS4 games?
Yes.
Really?
PlayStation Now was designed for, it was their answer to backwards compatibility. Right. They had majority of their catalog of first-party PS3 games and a bunch of third-party PS3 games, and you could play them streaming to your PS4.
Right, so have they fixed the lag issue yet, or is that still a thing?
I think, it's one of those things.
I remember that was a thing that, like.
I think the lag issue was it was noticeable, but minor.
Okay.
I think it's only gotten better since they got, like, shuttered all the extra services.
Yeah.
It's still, no one's talking about it because other people have built better and more consumer-friendly systems instead of just rent the game you probably already own for PS3 anyway.
Right.
But it is a very interesting thing because now the argument that we've always had about Xbox games, like, why would you buy an Xbox? Now, as PC gamer now, why would you ever play a PS4?
Yeah. Right.
The only comment I can say about this is with the Xbox thing, it's day and date. With this, PS Now, it's old games. I think it's like year one or two PS4 games.
So Warframe?
Warframe's already on PC, and you know it.
Boy.
So my I guess question with PlayStation Now, like, how? So do you download like a PlayStation Now app?
That's I believe so.
Phone that's connected to your computer.
I believe that's how it goes. There's a portal.
Okay.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, great. I guess.
Cool.
All right. Yeah, I just...
Good for them?
Yeah, like, I guess I don't feel either way. That's, like, I always find it weird with the whole, like, you can play this now on your PCs if it's...
here are the games that you can play on...
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah,
here are the games you can play for PS4 on PC right now as per the new PlayStation Now update.
Okay.
Killzone Shadowfall, God of War 3 Remastered, Saints Row 4 re-elected, WWE 2K16, okay. Tropico 5, Ultra Street Fighter 4, F1 2015, Darksiders 2, Definitive Edition. Definitive Edition.
That's not how you spell definitive, by the way.
Definitive Edition. I'm reading it verbatim.
Okay.
Evolve, MX versus ATV Supercross Encore, Resogun, Helldivers, Broken Age, Dead Nation Apocalypse Edition, Grim Fandango Remastered, Akiba's Beat, Castle Storm Definitive Edition, Exist Archives,
this
The Other Side of the Sky, Nihal, and Mega Baseball. So from what I can tell from that, there are no, outside of Shadowfall, there's no big AAA, like, you need to look at this this list.
You're right.
But the way PlayStation Now works, you're going to start seeing those games crop up later on and on.
Right.
So if you're that PC gamer who's like, oh, Charlie looks cool, but I'm not going to buy a PS4. No, you don't need to.
Right. I mean, what is this? What do you think this means? Do you think that they're just trying to safeguard themselves against, like, or I'm sorry, future-proofing themselves in terms of, like, PC market?
Like, it's very...
Or are they just covering their bases?
I'm of two minds. I'm of the mind that the minute you... If a lot of what you're doing, because like PS Now for me on PlayStation 4 and the way it was designed was designed to placate those guys who wanted backwards compatibility,
right?
And I'm not a big wig in the Sony room, so I can't tell you what this really means.
Yeah.
But when it feels,
but you're not.
No, I wish I was.
Why are you on this podcast then?
I know what.
Get out of here!
I feel like I've been lied to.
It's me, Shuhei Yoshida. No, because it's always hard to, especially when like a lot of video game decisions that we don't really process are made on the individual decision making system, so it's all your own personal preferences.
Right.
For me as a PlayStation fan, the idea of playing PlayStation 4 games on PC does not move the needle.
Right.
But if you're a PC fan and you've seen PlayStation put out these amazing games over the last couple of years, you can now get it. And then what is the definitive version of it?
Right. And then my next question is, do you need PlayStation Plus in order to use PlayStation?
No, because they're a separate service.
Interesting.
Your PlayStation Plus doesn't give you PS Now, and your PS Now doesn't give you PlayStation Plus.
Very interesting. Okay.
Interesting.
I definitely want to know what the marketing decision of making this decision. Because in my head, I'm like, don't do this till you've had PS5. Until that's the thing, don't do this.
Yeah, like, I don't understand why they would do that in this generation.
There has to be some marketing decision. They're not telling us.
Like he might have said with the whole PC correlation.
But yeah.
Outside of that, I don't see the point.
Right. Oh, yes.
But like I said, like we said, we're not in the executive
room. Right, right. And we're also not PC players, too. So.
Yeah. We're just three black guys.
Sitting sometimes in a room. Four.
Sometimes four.
Sitting around this table. Right?
Every now and then five.
Oh, man.
It's interesting.
Yeah. It's yeah. Interesting.
But I guess we should wrap this episode up.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
Nice little bun. Bow. Of
like,
sorts.
Like an oven?
Yeah.
Like an oven?
No, not a
oven. Speaking of ovens.
What about ovens?
I don't know. I just, I got nothing.
Okay.
Anyways, this has been our podcast for today.
It has been.
I like to say that in the future, maybe next episode or maybe the episode after that, there might be a little change up to how this is going to go. There might be a little something special that
I
have in store.
Okay.
We'll
DJ wants to keep it a surprise.
We'll keep it a surprise. We'll keep it a surprise.
Supplies.
Don't make fun of me. Well, anyways, thanks for joining us. If you like what you heard today, subscribe to our podcast and leave a comment below. Maybe
like, share, keep, subscribe.
Yeah,
I keep
YouTube guys coming soon.
Because we would really love to hear what you got to say, and like, even if you have like any questions, like anything,
send us questions, please.
What?
Please.
What he said. Yes.
Do it.
Do it.
For
do it.
Culture.
You can email us at pressxtostartpodcast@gmail.com. If you want to submit a topic or question for the show, you can
please
follow
do
us.
That too.
What he said again. You, pretty much anything.
Also,
except weapons. Don't send us weapons, please.
Actually, send us weapons, because that's always cool. Don't send us bombs, but...
Yeah, getting sent weapons is cool until you gotta go through customs.
Hey, man, if someone sent me a freaking Master Sword for Legend of Zelda, I'd be tickled pink.
Niggas have died for less.
Yeah, unfortunately, they have. I also want to say some shout-outs to...
We got shout-outs?
We built a very, very small but grassroots community. A lot of people that we already know in person.
Yeah.
But I want to give a shout-out to these people because they're the reason we're still doing this. Because, if we were 20 episodes in and, like, had like one regular listener, I was closed up shop.
All right,
but there are at least 18 people, four of this are not in this room, that I can reasonably give shout outs to.
Right.
So I'm going to give a shout out to Andrew Cox, Noah Campbell, William T. Bruce.
Awesome.
If I'm getting your name wrong, I apologize. I'm reading this off of Facebook and the likes you've given us. So if your Facebook name isn't your real name, What am I going to do?
You can write in and tell us your real name.
Amira Nirvana. Antonio.
Wait, Amira Nirvana?
Yeah.
That's a cool-ass name.
That's a cool-ass name.
Yeah, right?
Antonio Hernandez.
Uh-huh.
Mark Foster, the second.
The second? What about the first?
Alicia Calloway. I'm going to say Pickney.
Pickney?
Yeah.
Is she Jamaican?
And a Jameel Calloway Pickney. So we got a husband and wife who's like this.
Oh, hey, they're probably Cam friends.
Probably. Ironic, but Cam isn't here. Give a shout out to his own friend.
All right.
Anyway, Jonathan Snyderman, David Foster, Daniel Bradley, who we might have on this show eventually.
What's this, Snyderman? He's a carryover from our other podcast. Namdi.
Yeah,
what's good, Namdi?
There you go.
Jordan, who's been on the show.
Yeah.
Steven Stuckey, an old school friend of ours.
The Stuck Man.
Awesome.
Yeah. Okay, Benjamin Stewart, William Scarborough.
Benedict the Cumberbatch.
Homeboy Eric Booker.
What's good,
hey.
Book?
Oh, Eric. Eric. I'm so happy.
Robert Lee Jones, III.
Oh, Robbie. Wow. III.
And Aaron Soto Lewis, who I checked, has no connection to any one of us and liked our page. So,
shout out
to her. And then straight up shout out to all of our really close friends who are listening to this and giving us feedback on this. So you guys know who you are. Audie, Josiah, Marilyn, Shireen, who gave us some real feedback. Everyone. Like Marjorie.
Kim.
Kim, who hasn't liked our page. I'm gonna talk with Cam about that.
What's going on with that?
He gave me shit for like five episodes. There's only The only other person who's been on more podcasts than me and Cam is his wife, Kim.
That's a good point.
Day.
But anyway, straight up shout out to you guys. Thank you. Your support is the reason we're doing this, and the reason where we're really pursuing this is something that's that we want to
build
going forward.
Right. And it's with your support that we're able to do this.
Yes.
And we are very, very appreciative. Thank you.
When we become an empire, you will all get cookies and puppies.
I'll get free t-shirts, but okay.
We're going to have puppies like that, though.
We'll have a...
As someone who's super into eugenics, that's a bad idea.
Why are you super into eugenics?
Hey, man, there's nothing wrong with eugenics as long as you don't put race into it.
Did you make the last night?
I'm just saying, those cancer
treatments. It was me all over.
Those vaccines you all are so happy with, it's a form of eugenics. I'm just saying.
Fair enough.
And that's for another podcast. So, just to finish this up, you can follow us on Twitter at PressX2S. You can like our Facebook page at PressX2, that's the number 2, start. And you can follow our new Instagram page that has 2 posts on it.
Hey, there's pictures there now.
There you go. And there should be more
in the
coming
weeks
soon. And they should be fun. They should be fun.
They better be fun.
And our Instagram page is PressX, the number 2, start.
Hey.
Again, thanks everyone for joining this wild and crazy ride with some wild and crazy kids.
Yeah.
Remember that, guys? Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Well, was it...
Wild and Crazy Kids?
Yeah, was it Omar Gooding?
Ooh.
It might have been.
Yeah. But
is
he
related to Cuba?
Yeah, it's Cuba's little brother.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's Omar Gooding.
Really?
Yeah, Nickelodeon. I watched the shit kind of that. We can do an entire episode of, like, 90s Nickelodeon.
I don't even know why I tried that. I should have known he would know. All right, guys. With that, we all bid you a fare thee well.
Goodbye! Also, you'll find our
is that Sound of Music?
Yeah.
Nazis. Anyway, you'll find our I think it's a better idea. You'll find our places and IDs in the show description. So
yeah.
We're not going to say them now.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Plus, Cam's not here, and his thing's just...
We're never going to remember.
Yeah.
The irony is, mine is dumber than his, and mine is easier to remember.
It's because there's not an assortment of letters.
With crooked L's.
Also, Kim's dream, we're going to apologize for making fun of Cam when he's not here. I know you guys hate that.
He'll be alright.
We love you. We love you, Cam.
You're... Sometimes. But,
right,
I'm Mark Selson. Be
easy. Williams.
Donald.
Donald.
Yep. And with that, we say, what do we say, guys?
Peace and much love to you.
There you go. Be good.
Be good to each other.
Do it.